Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Didn't get what you really wanted over the holidays? Give yourself what you've always wanted from Stitch Fix. With Stitch Fix, you get new, updated wardrobe pieces hand-picked by a personal stylist and delivered right to your door. Now you don't have to leave the house to shop for clothes. And you'll be so well-dressed, everyone will notice. It's so easy. Just visit stitchfix.com/Nash. At Stitch Fix, we listen to your unique styling needs. Just take a style quiz based on your preferences that meet your style, your budget, and your body. Then Stitch Fix matches you with a personal stylist who picks clothes, shoes, and accessories you'll love. Just pay a small styling fee. Get a box with items to try on. Only pay for what you like, and the styling fee is applied to what you decide to keep. Keep all the items, and you'll get 25% off your entire purchase. Select when you want your next order. No subscription costs, no shipping costs, no stress. Go to stitchfix.com/Nash. You'll never have to shop for clothes again. Try it today at stitchfix.com/Nash.
Indeed, no.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The first presidential debate between Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump is set for tonight in Philadelphia. Many undecided voters in key swing states among the millions who will tune in. ABC's Jonathan Carl has more on the stakes.
Everybody knows who Kamala Harris is. She's been vice president, but people don't know that much about her. And the number of people that say they need to know more about where she stands. But an even more important point is that those are the persuadable voters. So the voters that will determine this election are saying they need to know more about Kamala Harris.
Election officials in North Carolina say they are working to reprint new presidential ballots after the state's Supreme Court ruled last night Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s name must be removed from the ballot. Independent candidate RFK Jr. suspended his campaign last month and endorsed Donald Trump. Tropical storm Francine on the march in the Gulf and expected to make landfall tomorrow along the Louisiana coast as a hurricane. This is ABC News. Act. Hundreds have been evacuated in California's Orange County as a wildfire rages on in blistering heat.
Overnight, the airport fire in Orange County growing rapidly in size after sparks from heavy equipment set the area ablaze. The flames, encroaching on radio and cell towers atop Mount Santiago, prompting the evacuation of more than 1,400 homes. Poor air quality and limited road access has forced the closure of schools in at least two districts. The fire coming as the area deals with record-setting heat. Downtown L.A. hitting 105 degrees on Monday.
ABC's Mola Lange in San Bernardino County. The former boyfriend of Ugandan Olympian Rebecca Cheptegei, accused of setting her on fire and killing her, has died. Dixon Ndema was hospitalized following the fatal attack after suffering burns to around 30% of his body. The pair had been fighting over land. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Racine County's district attorney said Friday police officers involved in a fatal shooting at a park there won't be criminally charged. On July 10th, officers responded to the report of a man lying face down at Cliffside Park in Caledonia. The man, 37-year-old Jesse Pat, fired a gun in the air as officers approached him. That led to a two-hour standoff that ended when Pat was shot by officers after reaching for his gun. Pat died at the scene. Police connected Pat to allegedly setting a house on fire in Racine 2 days earlier. His mother, 67-year-old Cheryl Christensen, was found dead inside the burned home with gunshot wounds. Police in Sheboygan shoot a man who assaults and tries to disarm an officer. When police responded to the report of a man waving a gun in downtown Sheboygan Sunday evening, they said the 23-year-old lunged at an officer. He then assaulted them and took the officer's gun out of their duty belt. Another officer shot the man, who was arrested, taken to a local hospital, and later flown to a Green Bay area hospital for surgery. The assaulted officer suffered minor injuries. No one else was hurt. Airports across Wisconsin will get more than $34 million for safety and operation improvements.
The funds come from a Federal Aviation Administration program that provides grants for the planning and development of public-use airports and improvements related to enhancing airport safety, capacity, security, and environmental concerns. Projects receiving funding include nearly $3 million to expand the terminal building at the Appleton International Airport and almost $6 million to rehab paved taxiways at Dane County Regional Airport. Funding for the upgrades come from the Tammy Baldwin-backed government funding bill. Baldwin faces Republican challenger Eric Hovde in a race for Senate this November. Shaw Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to 82 for a high. The wind south 10 to 20, gusting to 25. Tonight we'll drop down to 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 86. Then on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 88. If you are looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play, check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's easy to get there, and it is definitely worth a look. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 79.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Hope you are having a great day so far. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We have plenty to talk about here on the show coming up. We're going to talk markets in just a moment with Garrett Toy from Ag Trader Talk. Get a look at what is happening here in this grain and livestock trade, as especially on the grain side. We're geared up for a USDA report on Thursday, and harvest is getting underway across the country. In segment two, we're talking Farm Bill and more. There are a lot of ag groups that are in Washington, D.C. this week as lawmakers get back to work, and that includes members of the National Farmers Union. We're going to talk with Doug Somke, the president of South Dakota Farmers Union, live from Capitol Hill, coming up here in segment two today. In segment three, we're going to go overseas to Japan, where our friend Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, is at currently on a trade trip. And he's also going to have with him Ross Havens from the Cattlemen's Beef Board in the U.S. MEF Executive Committee, as they're going to talk about that trade trip. And also we'll run through the latest export numbers out last week for meat export demand and more. So that's all coming up in segment three here today. And then in segment four, we'll take a look at the latest ag news headlines, including more and the latest on farm bill talks and a continuing resolution to keep the government funded that needs to get done by the end of this month and more. So a lot to get to here today on AOA. Let's dive in and take a look at the markets. Joining us now, Garrett Toy with Ag Trader Talk. Garrett, hope you're doing well. Thanks for being back with us here on AOA.
Yeah, good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Let's look at this grain trade. Soybeans had a good day Monday. Then we're seemingly giving it all back and then some on Tuesday. Kind of just this ebb and flow that's starting to kind of take hold here ahead of that USDA report coming up later this week is what it feels like to me. Garrett, what do you think?
Yeah, it's September. It's the salmon run. You know, we're trying to swim upstream, you know, and we're struggling right now. I mean, I think that, you know, the trade is looking for a bigger decline in bean conditions yesterday, considering how this August weather's kind of fared and it wasn't realized. I 10 and a quarter was where no beans kind of topped out. We traded 10:30. We'd rallied 70 cents, you know, and ahead of harvest. But I think that was a pretty decent gift for anybody that had to or has to move grain at harvest and doesn't have the ability to store. I think we're just sitting back here. This 10:03 area is kind of an important number here today. But overall, I think that, you know, we get back to $10 maybe and then chop into Thursday's crop production report.
I know some people, if you're a chart watcher, they've been watching some of these key levels. We got through the 20-day. We've been testing the 50-day in many of these grain markets. But we still have not been able to get up towards the 100-day. And you just look at some of the seasonal trends. Some have said, well, hey, maybe the harvest rally is starting early. But I've also heard some people say that they still feel like there's some downside potential here in these markets, quarter beans in particular. What side of the fence are you leaning on? Do you think there's more downside potential, or are we maybe starting off this harvest rally ever so slowly that seasonally can happen?
Jesse, I'm not one to buy rallies when harvest is 5% complete. if it was 50% or we were getting into the tail end of harvest, I would be a little bit more inclined. But, I think that pre-harvest rallies essentially have to be sold. I'd be very careful about getting to. Because, I mean, here's the thing is if we rally through harvest, these end users and producers, the availability of the crop, they'll buy everything they'll want to buy. You know, especially if that was a sustained rally to the 100-day moving average. The 100-day moving average is at $11. We've got to take some. It's going to be some time before that 100-day moving average gets close to this market. You know, it's going to be probably take a month to have it drop another deal quarters, so it's going to take some time. But no, I'm not a buyer of this rally. I mean, like I said, it's, you know, for a producer that doesn't have the ability to store, considering, you know, the river issues, which is pressuring basis and these wide spreads. This is a chance to get some stuff sold.
Well, I think about this too, Garrett, and I know a lot of concern about the overall ag economy and more right now. And I think more so as farmers are starting to think about and penciling out decisions for 25, not even so much about figuring out how to sell right now, but penciling out for 25. What's your perspective? You're a farmer too. I mean, where do things kind of line up right now? Is there anything we could do to at least protect any more downside risk right now?
You know, we've done some put coverage out to DEES 25. I mean, it's not pretty, but the margin environment is not going to be, it's not going to be much different than this current year. The only, you know, quote unquote sign of relief is that hopefully interest rates do start getting cheaper here and the cost of money gets a little bit cheaper. That potentially, and I think that's part of the reason that we've had this flat price rally in here is kind of that macro unwind of an expectation of weaker interest rates or lower interest rates, weaker dollar and potentially having some support to ags. But I think that there's some opportunities at this point. I mean, the carries in the markets, I'm more inclined to hedge some beans off here than corn because, you know, sub 450 corn for next year isn't necessarily, too excitable, especially considering, where inputs are looking at it. They're all over the place. I've seen fertilizer down. I've seen fertilizer up. I've seen seed prices down. I've seen seed prices up and then down. There's kind of all over the board here. So I think as we're starting to get some pencils to paper, some put coverage or some upside call coverage upside call coverage might be able to protect us here over the next couple of weeks.
Garrett, how about that livestock trade? It felt like Monday's move, especially in cattle, was more fundamental than technical, was more technical than fundamental. Your perspective on what's going on in the livestock trade right now?
It's pretty wild. I mean, these fats, traded down to 174 yesterday and then came roaring back. It really felt like, late last week, you know, that 180 level was kind of a cap in the market, and you still have this macro feel to it. Cash is still strong enough that, you know, a 174 type trade in futures, you know, is it doesn't make sense, and that's going to kind of throw a life ring around this futures market near term. But, you know, I think that, you know, overall last week was, we were trying to figure out whether we were in a downtrend or testing that downtrend line off of those July highs. And I do think that resistance held. I think we are in a downtrend in cattle here, but it's going to be a grind lower. It's not going to be the easy trade, but we are going to find some value here. I mean, we have contract lows at 172, and we, you know, came within $2 of them on Friday or yesterday, excuse me. So, you know, I'm being more active in hedging our cattle customers.
Folks can find more details, agtradertalk.com. Garrett Toy, always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for being with us on AOA today. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to turn our attention to Capitol Hill. Doug Somke, president of the South Dakota Farmers Union, is there this week. We're going to talk to him next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
On the September episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discuss the agriculture trade deficit forecast from USDA with Nancy Martinez, NCGA Director of Public Policy, Trade, and Biotechnology, and Matthew Poe, Mississippi farmer and member of NCGA's Market Development Action Team.
The USDA releases these quarterly reports on U.S. ag trade, so the latest one came out August 27th with some not-so-great news for ag exports. So there's actually a projection that for fiscal year 2025, the ag deficit will be $42.5 billion. That means that with agriculture, we are importing way more than we are exporting.
It is very, very concerning. I don't know any way other to put it. We have a huge crop coming in, and we need somewhere to go for this, especially our corn. I mean, this is something we got to figure out, and we got to get something going right in our direction.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA and learn more at ncga.com.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. In life, you'll hear a lot of people tell you that you can do anything you want. I'm here to tell you that's true. Since I was a little girl, I dreamed of becoming a successful singer and entertainer. It took a lot of hard work, dedication, and perseverance to find my success, but it was worth it. I never gave up on my dreams. Remember, you can never have a dream come true until you've had a dream. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as Congress gets back to work this week, members of the National Farmers Union from across the country are in D.C. on Capitol Hill talking with legislators about, among other things, the importance of and the need for getting a new farm bill done. Let's talk about that and more. Joining us now, the president of the South Dakota Farmers Union is with us here again on AOA. It's great to have him back. Doug Somke is here. Doug, it's good to talk with you again, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Jesse. Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Well, as I mentioned, it's the National Farmers Union DC fly-in happening this week. And I know you, along with many members of the South Dakota Farmers Union, are on Capitol Hill, and other farmers union groups from across the country are all there. And as I mentioned, farm bill is a big one that I know a lot of folks are talking about right now. What's the latest you've heard in some of the conversations, and what's the big thing that you and other members are driving home to legislators here this week?
Yeah, well, we're here in D.C. this week. We actually came on Monday, so we're really just getting started. There's over 400 from across the country for National Farmers Union. We've got over 30 of us from South Dakota. And the biggest message we're sharing with them today is the fact that, you know, even though they can't seem to get together to do what's right for this country, for not only for security for food, but also the national security, that they got to remember that there's actual farmers and ranchers that are being harmed by this on a daily basis. And just kicking the can down the road is not the answer. You know, there used to be a time when one of the biggest pressing issues that they needed to worry about was if they didn't get something done, that we had permanent law that would kick in place. They're not even afraid of that anymore because of the way they've changed certain rules. And we're just trying to remind them, you know, that we're real people and we got real issues. And, you know, without a farm bill, there's a lot of things that aren't going to happen, not only for farmers and ranchers, but also for all Americans.
Well, Doug, we'll talk about some of the big pieces that I know you guys are advocating for in a second. But to your point, how this all can harm folks in rural America, it's no secret that the ag economy's taking a hit, taking a downturn. Some have even said that the ag economy's in a recession. And I mean, you look at how things are shaping up for margins and more for 2025, and still using an outdated farm bill supports from 2018, the way the economics have changed. I mean, there's someone had this quote the other day that kicking the can down the road, there's no road left, it feels like, for farmers and ranchers in rural America. Would you agree?
No, I would agree with that. You know, there's a lot of misinformation out here. Even the secretary was kind of bending the numbers yesterday when he was talking to us. I mean, and he's comparing us to, you know, small farmers to big farmers. And that comparison, the big farmers were us, those of us in South Dakota. They're considering us big farmers. Well, you know, anybody that's making $350,000 gross, first of all, you're not making a living as a full-time farmer. It's closer to $750,000 in our neck of the woods. And then your wife's still working, and then she's also, you know, she's the health care provider. So there's a number of issues that way as well. You know, the fact that, yeah, we've had some decent prices here recently, but let's also don't forget that our cost of everything went up. I mean, our cost of fuel, our cost of fertilizer, our cost of seed, our cost of chemical, the cost of the property that we grow it on. Everything has gone up, so you can't compare that. I mean, that's just, like you said, no road forward. I was really, personally, I was very disappointed in the secretary's message yesterday, and that's why we need to be out here. We need to be filling people in that there's a better way to do this. First of all, start talking to each other, stop wearing your politics on your sleeve, and start wearing your constituents on your sleeve and get something done. But the bigger thing is maybe the way we've done things in the past isn't working. Maybe we need to look at a new way. And Farmers Union is something in our policy that we've talked about for a couple of years and actually asked Senator Thune and even the USDA to do a study on called IMSET, Inventory Management and Soil Enhancement Tool. And we're getting no traction. We really need some help with this, because the numbers that they're talking about that we need to update, every farmer under this plan could update it. And even those without insurance today, there could be insurance for everybody. And we had a guy yesterday from Colorado talking about black-eyed peas and getting some NAP coverage for that. Under this IMSET plan that we're proposed to have studied, there would be room to even cover that. And it would also lower the CBO score. I mean, we've got to do some things. We can't continue to kick the can down the road. Like you said, there's no road to kick it down. And the fact of the matter is, these shallow loss programs like ARC, that needs to go away. It just does not help anything. I think the first year there was some payments made. After that, there's been absolutely nothing. It's done nothing but raise the CBO score. So we've got to do some new things. And like I said, thinking outside the box. And I'm sure hoping that some of the other groups that are with us out here, I mean, it's not just Farmers Union out here. I've seen some sugar guys. I've seen some cotton guys. I've seen some rice guys, some peanut guys. So I'm hoping everybody is willing to sit down and talk about what other things we can look at and bring to this Congress and get them to start thinking about the actual people rather than the politics.
We're talking with Doug Somke, president of the South Dakota Farmers Union. He is in D.C. this week for the National Farmers Union D.C. fly-in. Doug, great points you raised there. And I think about all the different commodities that have to get underneath the farm bill. I know that can make it a heavy lift, but to your point, hopefully folks can start talking and we can get some things moved forward and get that farm coalition kind of back together. The livestock side, though, too, you're a cattle rancher. I know there's some pieces here that have been talked about that could, you know, potentially make it into this farm bill that are important too. Packers and Stockyards, MCOOL, a lot of different things are out there. What is, from your perspective at South Dakota Farmers Union, what are some things on the livestock side that we need to see?
Yeah, the MCOOL has always been a big thing, but the farm bill is the only mechanism that we're going to be able to attach that to. There's nothing else out there. I mean, it's just on its standalone, it's just not gonna be kosher for anybody. But you know, the antitrust stuff, I mean, is so huge. It's not only for the livestock industry, but like all the other products that we deal with and the products that we purchase. You know, I mean, there just is not enough competition. And this started back in the 80s, right? I mean, we started going down this road that, and we thought was going to be the best thing, and we're realizing now that it's not. And it's time to, you know, shift gears, get back to making things right. And because if we don't, we are going to continue to lose farmers every day. We already are. And we can't afford that. I had a young farmer walking back from the briefing yesterday asking me, so tell me a little bit about this competition stuff. He said, I don't know anything about being able to have multiple buyers come through my feedlot and buy. I've never experienced that. Tell me about it. I mean, that's where we're at. That's how long we've been fighting this battle, that a young man, 30 years old, doesn't know about the abilities that his forefathers had to have multiple markets to sell their product at. So if we don't do something, pretty soon we're going to lose people like him.
That's a great point, too, that I think we can kind of wrap up on here, Doug, is with the next generation coming onto the farm. Just feels like with the various regulations and more that are out there and some of what we're facing in front of us just could make it very challenging. And I think it already is very challenging for young and beginning farmers to move in and take over the farm in many cases, Doug.
Yeah, I mean, when I started farming, yeah, I had, you know, tough times in the late 70s, early 80s. You know, we were paying 18.5% operating note. And, you know, interest rate was bad, but we didn't have to deal with the amount of capital that it takes to run a farm today. I just mentioned that, you know, what it takes. And these young guys, I mean, they got a really, really big hole to dig out of. And it's all because of what we let happen to us over the years. And it's time to stop. It's time to shift gears. It's time to bring back the reality that, you know, we need these young guys into agriculture because it, again, is a national security issue, not just a food security issue.
Well, we do appreciate the time as always. It's good to catch up with you again. I know things are busy there in DC this week. We'll let you go and hopefully we can make some headway there while you and all the other folks from farmers unions across the country are on Capitol Hill this week. Doug Somke, president of the South Dakota Farmers Union. Doug, great to talk with you again. Thanks for being with us on AOA.
You bet. Thanks for doing everything you do for us, Jess.
Doug Somke there with the South Dakota Farmers Union joining us here today on AOA. Good to talk with him. Some very great points to think about. Hopefully we can get something done with this farm bill as we really need one. We need to get one done. We're to talk more about that. Talk about the continuing resolution to keep the government funded. What that outlook is looking like and more. We'll have Ag News headlines coming up next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Wernikins at the Mercantile Exchange. October milk up 38 to 23.92. November up 51 to 23.46. December up 33 to 22.34. And January milk up 6 to 20.89. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle markets were mixed, lower in the nearbys but higher in deferreds. Now, feeder cattle were mostly higher on the day. Some continued technical buying and some expectations of some higher cash markets helping the feeder cattle, but the live cattle markets lower on some of that profit taking from yesterday's gains. Hog markets mostly mixed. Really not a lot of big fundamental news to help the markets, but some of the pork cutoff values were slightly higher. That did help many of the deferred contracts. October live cattle down 60 cents to 176.32. September feeder cattle up 75 cents to 238.47. October hogs down 25 cents to 78.55. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn and soybeans mostly lower. A lot of positioning ahead of the USDA WASDE report for soybeans. A big bout of profit taking and really the positive weather for much of the corn and soybean belt, so which should help with pod fill and also with corn harvest also lending some additional pressure. Higher MATIF wheat prices, though, helped U.S. wheat. September corn down 4.75 to 379.5. September beans down 22.5 to 977.5. September wheat up 3.25 to 558.75.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Joining us now as we take a look at the latest meat export numbers out from the USDA and compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. We're going to talk about that and then also get an update on a trip that President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, Dan Hallstrom, is currently on in Japan. Dan, thanks for joining us here today. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, we're doing great, Jesse. Thank you for having us.
And I know you have a special guest with you as well that we're going to be talking to here today. Ross Havens with the Cattlemen's Beef Board. Ross, thanks for being here as well. Appreciate the time.
Oh, it's a privilege. Thank you.
Well, Dan, let's start with the latest export numbers before we talk about what you guys are doing overseas here today. Looked like a pretty solid month for beef, for pork. What were some of the latest numbers we saw? Let's start with the beef side, Dan.
Yeah, the beef side had a good month, kind of a rebound month, I would say. About 110,000 tons, up 7% of the volume. But the really exciting part was the value, over $910 million, almost $911 million for July. And in addition to some of the markets we've already been talking about the last several months, like Mexico had another good month on beef. Taiwan continues to do well. But you look at Japan. Japan had a really good month. You know, we've had a lot of headwinds in Japan. And, you know, we were up 14% with 22,000 tons, which is an extremely good improvement over the last several months. Now, you might think the yen has improved. It has, but it didn't really improve in July. These are July stats. The yen only recently improved. So that was in with the headwind of the yen. And I think this really this increase in the month of July was indicative of the rebound of food service, especially from tourism. There are over 3 million tourists a month. 2 years ago, there were no tourists, so it's quite the turnaround, and we've been waiting on it. It's long overdue, but I think that's given us a little bit of tailwinds on demand as well on the beef side.
How about on the pork side? I know, of course, we continue to watch Mexico. They continue to be a big buyer of U.S. pork. What's some of the latest details there?
Well, the July month is ditto with the last several months. Mexico was big. 24% growth, 100,000 tons for the month of July, $245 million for Mexico. Big, big month. But it doesn't stop there. Japan on pork was up a little bit, not as much as beef, but it was up about 5%. Korea had a big month, up 16%. You look at Central America, it has been all year. Another good month for Central America, and you look at the Caribbean. So really broad-based growth, the same theme we've been talking about on pork continues.
I should ask about lamb exports as well. I know we take a look at those numbers. Looked like July lamb exports saw a bit of an increase in value. What were the details there, Dan?
Yeah, the down a little bit on volume, but as you mentioned, value is up. But the leaders there, the Caribbean region and Mexico, continue to lead the way. Very, very strong in both of those markets relative for lamb. So, yeah, we're pretty happy with that as well.
All right. Well, let's segue into what you gentlemen are doing in Japan here this week. And Dan, maybe set this up for us real quick before we go over to Ross and get some thoughts from him. What is going on with the delegation that is overseas this week?
Yeah, well, we've got a group of 21 producers from the U.S. that are with us, representing the beef production side of the industry, pork production, soybean, and corn production. And we do have, another person as well from the agribusiness side. So, a pretty good broad base of our membership that are with us here. And, you know, the beauty of these teams are really twofold. Number one is we bring them over for educational purposes. So show them what's going on in the market, see it firsthand, their dollars at work, their checkoff dollars at work. But the other thing, the flip side of that is that it's a great marketing tool. Our customers over here love hearing from producers, seeing it and hearing it firsthand from them on what's going on in the U.S., what differentiates our products, et cetera. So we're just really fortunate to have such a great group. And we still have a couple days to go, but the first few days over here have been pretty darn good.
Well, Ross, let's bring you in here. We'll bring you off the bench here for this segment. I feel like we're leaving you out here. Ross, you're with the Cattlemen's Beef Board and the USMEF Executive Committee. Talk about just what you've seen so far on this trip here and your perspective to Dan's comments about how these trips are always really good to, you know, bring folks over from the U.S. and talk with individuals, you know, for instance, in Japan this week about all the great meat, crops, et cetera, all the great commodities that we have to offer from the U.S. to the Japanese market.
Oh, no, it's been a great experience. And the things we've seen so far are really exciting. As Dan said, it's just bringing us over here. And, you know, as a producer, we work real hard to produce the best quality beef or pork that we can to market to our customers. But it's sure nice to get educated and realize what our customers are looking for and what their lifestyles are and the different aspects that they look at in their culture that they live in. And Japan's definitely different. We're learning a lot of things about the country itself, about the people here, and you know, it might help us market a little better as we go forward as producers. And, you know, we're going to get to visit with those customers this evening. We already sat down and visited with some of the major beef packers, National, JBS, and Tyson. And well, we had a good evening there and really got their perspective of how they're marketing our product over here. So it's been a really good experience.
Ross, has there been something that's maybe surprised you so far on this trip in terms of what you've heard from your Japanese customers over there? Is there something that's maybe caught you a little bit by surprise, so to speak, or not so much?
Well, what's caught me by surprise a little bit is, you know, how hard we've worked to improve the quality of our product, especially on the beef side, which is my sector. And there's a lot of opportunity, and they really feel that there's more opportunity to grow our market over here because of the quality and the value of our product and the nutritional aspect of it. So that's really got me really excited about what we're doing back home.
Well, we're talking with Ross Havens with the Cattlemen's Beef Board and USMEF Executive Committee, and Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. And Dan, to Ross's comments, I know you've done a lot of work back and forth overseas, and I think it just it goes to show that these continued trips, the importance of keeping our export channels open with our existing customers and growing some of those existing export channels, right, Dan?
Exactly right. I mean, it's a relationship business, no different than a lot of the businesses in production ag in the U.S. side. But I would say even more so, these Asian markets, especially Japan, very relationship oriented. So investing a few days of our time with some of our biggest customers in the world here in Japan undoubtedly will pay dividends, because if they meet in Ross's case, a cattle producer that is producing high quality beef that comes to Japan, that's just so powerful, right? And we've got pork producers on the trip and corn and soybean as well. So yeah, it's hard to put into words just how effective that is from a relationship building standpoint.
Dan, what could be maybe the biggest area for growth moving forward with, say, Japan, for instance? Is there one area in particular that maybe stands out to you?
Well, yeah, I think there's a couple. Number one is the rebound of food service. Food service has been limping along since COVID. to the tune of COVID was an issue here a good year and a half after it was over in the U.S. So we're only a year and a half removed from COVID here in Japan. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier with the stats in July, we're hopeful that this is a sign that the food service is finally starting to turn the corner. So that's one area of focus to rebuild and regain share there. And I'd say another area of focus is there's a lot of sub-segments that we're focused on. One is the elderly population. We know we have a high demographic of elderly population, and the nutritional aspects of beef and pork, U.S. beef and pork, are something where we're really working hard in that sector and seeing some dividends. But then you kind of go to the other end of the demographic. We have a younger generation in Japan as well that maybe isn't as well versed in the attributes of U.S. beef and pork. So that's another area that we're really focused in, more so maybe than we have been here in the last few years. So yeah, there's a lot of, you know, people think of Japan as a mature market, and it is somewhat mature, but there's still a lot of growth prospects here.
Well, we're getting up against the clock. Ross, real quick, just to reiterate to folks listening in, give us some thoughts on why it's important if folks have an opportunity to take a trip like this with the U.S. Meat Export Federation or another group overseas. Why is it so important?
Oh, just to widen your scope on our customers, what potentially could be our customers, so you know better how to market your product. You know, the nutritional aspects of it, the health aspects, the taste and quality, the high performance or the high quality that we work to produce in my case, the beef product. So we want to really put forth any efforts we can to help promote ag from the U.S. of A.
Well, with that, Ross Havens, Cattlemen's Beef Board, U.S. Meat Export Federation Executive Committee. Ross, thanks for being with us here today. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
And Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, as always, good to talk with you, sir. Thanks so much.
Yep, our pleasure. Thank you.
You can find more at usmef.org. Back with more on AOA right after this.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
And joining us now, as we learn more about Pioneer Z-Series soybeans, Shelby Shea, Pioneer Soybean Product Marketing Manager. Shelby, let's start. What makes the new Z-Series product introduction so special to Pioneer and Corteva AgriScience?
Z Z-Series Soybeans represents truly the next step forward for our soybean farmers. With a generational leap in both yield performance and agronomic performance over any soybean lineup Pioneer has ever introduced. 50 years of soybean research has led to the development of the new exciting Z-Series soybean lineup.
Well, Shelby, what makes Z-Series soybeans different than previous series?
Absolutely. So at Pioneer, we've been evolving on how we complete soybean plant breeding for over 50 years. So we've implemented the most advanced breeding analytics that we've ever used before. So in addition to deep understanding of our germplasm and being able to genotype, we're applying new ideas around both predictive analytics and new ways of phenotyping that enable us to collect and create better data sets from the things that we measure in the field, right? Think of things such as yield and disease resistance and agronomics. So improvements within these systems enhance our ability to determine what genetic combinations will produce the best outcome for our farmers. These types of advances have allowed us to vastly expand our breeding funnel and accelerate product development. Broad scale implementation across our breeding programs is what helped deliver a step change in both yield and performance from our Z-Series soybeans.
Shelby, how could growers learn more about Z-Series soybeans from Pioneer?
Yeah, talk to their local Pioneer representative or visit pioneer.com.
Once again, Shelby Shea with Pioneer. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jesse.
And again, learn more about Z-Series soybeans. Talk to your local Pioneer seed representative or visit pioneer.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, lawmakers returned to Capitol Hill this week with a long to-do list, including government spending being at the top of that list. Welcome back to AOA. Thanks for sticking with us here today on the program. And as lawmakers return to Washington, D.C., government spending, that's the big topic that's got to get done here in this short window. Speaker Mike Johnson of the House, he has a plan to extend government funding for 6 months and attach a GOP voting bill to sweeten the deal for conservatives. But that plan is seemingly already unraveling, as already a half dozen House Republicans are publicly against Johnson's plan. So we're going to be watching to see what happens here on the House side. That House GOP stopgap funding bill to keep the government funded, though, after September 30th, lacks a one-year farm bill extension. The must-pass continuing budget resolution extends government funding through next March, including USDA feeding, ag credit insurance, rural housing, and livestock mandatory reporting. But stopgap, likely to be voted on this week if folks can agree on it, as I mentioned, does not, as some predicted, include a one-year farm bill extension, giving ag lawmakers more time this Congress to nail down an elusive farm bill. American Farm Bureau's Joe Gilson spoke to the possibility of lame duck action without an earlier deal.
That looks more likely that we'd have to get something done in the lame duck, and that could come in terms of if they want to just kick it to the next Congress, an extension, or if there's a strong support for a five-year farm bill, there's about a month and a half to get something done in the lame duck.
Now, Gilson had expected lawmakers to hold out on another extension until the lame duck, given the bigger funding priorities this month.
I know they want to get the appropriations done with so that we're not at risk of a shutdown in at the end of September.
Lawmakers concluded they'd run out of time to bridge House Senate differences over full-year spending bills, leaving them the only option of extending current spending. The fight now is for how long. Democrats and some Republicans fear March 28th is too long, impeding early spending decisions by the next president. Some USDA farm programs like dairy supports would also need action earlier. But even if a new farm bill with higher crop supports could be passed in a lame duck, funding for it wouldn't come sooner than fiscal 2026. Now, drawing attention to the worsening economic conditions impacting the nation's food growers, over 300 national and state groups sent a letter to congressional leaders this week about the need for a new farm bill. Signatories stressed the significant need for a new bill before the end of this year. The letter says in part, quote, "It's critical that Congress pass a new farm bill that strengthens the safety net, as many producers are facing multiple years of not being profitable, and this is causing their overall financial situation to deteriorate. Some will have challenges as they seek operating credit for the 2025 crop year," end quote. Now, as the farm bill delays continue, producers across the country have faced headwinds ranging from extreme weather to high input costs and uncertain global demand to supply chain disruptions. Farmers and their allies say these challenges exposed areas of the farm bill that need to be strengthened. So we're going to be watching this closely. I know a lot of groups are on Capitol Hill this week as well, pressing lawmakers to try and get something done with a new five-year farm bill so we can avoid another extension of the 2018 bill. Well, the farm sector profits are forecast to fall this year, but the outlook is not as bleak now as it was in February. And according to the latest data from USDA's Economic Research Service, Kerry Lukowski is a senior economist and program leader in the farm economy branch and breaks down the numbers.
Specifically, net cash farm income for calendar year 2024 is forecast to fall $12 billion, or about 7% relative to 2023. And net farm income is forecast to fall $6.5 billion, or 4.4%.
She says much of the decline in farm revenue follows cash receipts.
Receipts from commodity sales are expected to decrease $9.8 billion, or almost 2%. Also, direct government payments to farmers are forecast to decrease $1.8 billion, or 15%.
However, Lukowski says a drop in farm costs will offset those declines to a degree.
Total production expenses, or the costs that farmers incur, are forecast to decrease $4.4 billion, or almost 1%. This decline is helping to moderate somewhat the overall decline in net income.
Farmgate receipts will also take a hit in 2024.
Average net cash farm income is forecast to decrease 8.9% in 2024. And lastly, for those households that operate a farm, median total household income is forecast to increase 1.7% to $99,683 in 2024.
And Lukowski highlights the difference between the February and September projections.
We looked at the projections from the August WASDE, which shows much stronger prices for most of the animal commodities, and we revised our forecast so that now we're expecting animal and animal product receipts to increase. Now, we increased almost $18 billion, in fact. The other factor for the revision between the two releases are that in February, we were saying that production expenses would increase. But now we're saying in total that production expenses are going to decrease.
Now, she says the difference is based on 6 months of data showing feed prices dropping. Again, that's Kerry Lukowski, senior economist with USDA's Economic Research Service. And over the weekend, Missouri officials identified a person sick with bird flu despite having no known contact with animals. Farm Policy News from the University of Illinois says this is the first case of the virus this year not linked to farm work. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said last week that the Missouri patient was hospitalized and treated with antiviral medications. The patient has since recovered and has been discharged from the hospital. This is the 14th case of bird flu infection in humans this year. 10 cases were reported in Colorado, 2 in Michigan, and 1 in Texas, all amid an outbreak in animals. Before this year, there was only 1 reported case of bird flu in the U.S. in a poultry worker from Colorado who was infected in 2022. Now, possible signs of human infection include fever, chills, cough, sore throat, conjunctivitis, or pink eye, and runny nose. Well, that is a look at the latest Ag News headlines here today on AOA. We are out of time here on the program. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to focus in on some of the drought concerns being seen in Ohio and talk about some other policy-related issues. Ty Higgins with the Ohio Farm Bureau is going to join us. All that and more coming up tomorrow here on AOA. We're out of time. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in proven solutions. Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive. Like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our...
DQ presents... The sound of BOGO-free Blizzard treats in the DQ app. It's the sound of downloading the DQ app. Redeeming the sweetest BOGO-free Blizzard deal. Telling all your friends. And heading to DQ. For BOGO-free any size Blizzard treats only in the DQ app for a limited time. Download it today. At participating locations, limitations apply. DQ.